The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bastards of Boston Baseball for your first Totally Legit or Calling the Cops spot. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter /X at Smith_MLB. My co-hosts for this one are going to be Doug Aitchison at DAitchison23 and Chris Felico at Saved by Grace without the E in Saved. If you want more Bastards of Boston Baseball content, check out bastardsofbostonbaseball.com. The Boston Red Sox have won back-to-back games against the Milwaukee Brewers, finding ourselves 3-3 over our last six and improving to 4-8, which sounds like a weird sentiment. And I think it's the second time we've mentioned that already, where it's not really a great record. We're still one of the worst teams in baseball, but somehow we managed to take a series against Milwaukee. So Totally Legit or Calling the Cops, a little bit of a tongue twister for me, always has been. The way this works is if you agree, you believe this is totally legit, or you can say you don't agree, and you're calling the cops. So the first one, Sonny Gray finishes the season as your clear number two for the Boston Red Sox rotation. Doug, totally legit, or are you calling the po-po?
Totally legit. I think he showed it the last two starts. You know, last start he looked great, right? He only gave up three hits, I think. He looked really good. He got big strikeouts in some spots where he was in some jams. And I just think he's veteran enough to you know, when people are struggling, he's a veteran enough to find his way and kind of set the ship. And people, some of his teammates have already been talking a lot about, you know, maybe he's filled kind of that Bregman role of being a leader and helping kids along. And I think you know, he's gonna. It seems like he likes being here so far. And the first start was definitely shaky. But the second two, I mean, he's looked really good. Two really quality starts, and it's more than you can say for anyone else, maybe except for Early. But I think that's totally legit. I think that's where he's going to end up.
Chris?
Whew. A month ago, I would have called the cops and waited for them to come pound down the door. I'm leaning more towards legit, and it's more of an indictment on the Red Sox rotation at this point. I don't trust Bayo. Ranger Suarez has not shown us anything to deserve the contract that he's gotten to this point. I know it's early and that might be unfair, but I'm just calling it like I see it to this point. I also recognize that the Boston Red Sox and the lineup that he has in front of him is not the Philadelphia Phillies. And that might be playing a part in it, knowing that you got to be perfect every time you go out on the mound. And even though I think Early could be that, I don't think the Red Sox are going to allow him to be that. So for all of those reasons, I'm going to say legit, not totally legit.
I'm going to be screaming the totally legit button because I think the best ability is availability. You've got starters that aren't necessarily fully healthy. You also have stars that can't get into the fourth inning. You have stars that can't get into the fifth inning. Sonny Gray has gotten you six plus in two of the three starts so far this year. I think he's going to continue to be available for that quality six innings baseline, which is what your starter should be getting you. Personally, I don't think you're a number two or number three if you can't get six innings. Ranger Suarez has yet to do that. Brian Bayo hasn't done it. Conley Early got us into the fifth, but that's it. Until you're getting a six consistently, like, that shouldn't be something that you strive to get. That should be the baseline. Your reliever shouldn't be pitching more than three innings in the game. That's like because you had a bad start. You had to only go six innings. I expect you to go six plus every five games. That's an expectation. Garrett Crochet, his baseline, probably seven innings and 100 pitches. He had 107 and I think 93 were the last two weeks that he ended up, or last two games rather. He's averaging 100. So I expect six innings baseline for your number two through five, or two through four, at least. Your five is probably like a whatever guy now. because the rules have changed and baseball's different now. But your number one guy should be getting you seven, number two and beyond, six plus. So Sonny Gray consistently doing that, I think that's totally legit. Second one on our hit parade. By year end, Marcelo Meyer ends up being the superior prospect and reclaims his number one status, or status, however you say it, over Roman Anthony. Is that totally legit, or are you calling the cops, Doug?
I'm calling the cops on this one, but I actually think it's going to be pretty close. I think Marcelo's looked great, especially in the field. He's looked really good. I mean, turning his double plays, he's looked really good. He has a really good arm. He has really fast release. But I still think Roman he's struggling right now, for sure. I mean, besides the in the field throwing the ball stuff, he's struggling at the plate. But I think he's going to come out of it. I still think, you know, he showed in the World Baseball Classic he can, you know, be a guy and he can hit, you know, with the best players in the league. And I think he's going to come out of it. I think he's just having a slow start. He's, you know, a youngster player still, but I definitely haven't lost any faith in Roman. And I think at the end of it, he'll be one of the best hitters in the league. The best hitter on our team with Willier. And I think Marcelo's going to have a great year, and I'm a big Marcelo guy, but I think Roman will still edge him out at the end of the year.
Chris.
Similar take to the first one. I think I'm somewhere between. I'm probably leaning actually more towards legit. I mean, it's no secret. I've never been huge on Roman Anthony. It's not that I don't like him. It's just, I think it's the fact that he's been so highly touted since he overtook Marcelo Meyer. And I just haven't seen the power to this point. He's shown flashes of it, but it's not consistent. I do agree with Doug. I think he's going to get out of the hitting slump. But even if he does, if he just keeps projecting the player that he's been to this point, he's going to be a singles machine, you know, and a double, but he doesn't have the defense that Marcelo Meyer does. And I think similarly to my first take, I don't know if Alex Cora is going to allow this to happen because he's stupid and he refuses to let Marcelo Meyer bat against lefties, even though he's had two at bats this season. One was a fly out, a hard fly out to center field. And the other one was a home run, and it was a clutch home run. And what I can say is out of the two of them, in the limited amount of at bats that Marcelo Meyer's had in his tenure with the Red Sox, he has shown more of a propensity to be a clutch hitter. Roman Anthony, to this point on the Boston Red Sox and in the World Baseball Classic, has not. And that may be unfair to this point because he's somewhat limited to this point, but he also doesn't have Alex Cora at this point holding him back. Although defensively, it is, you know, that's going to keep him out of the lineup or at least limited to DH if it continues to be a struggle in the outfield, which I don't even know where this came from because I feel like we weren't dealing with this last year. So again, I'm not going to say totally legit, but I am actually leaning towards legit. I do think that Marcelo Meyer can overtake Roman Anthony by year end if given the opportunity.
I actually am calling the cops on this one, and I'm like the first one screaming, slamming that button for calling the cops. Availability is your best ability here, and you have not been able to show us that you could be here for a full season, whether it be at the minor league level, and you're going to find out the major league level. It's kind of like that movie, was it like Unbreakable or whatever it was with Samuel L. Jackson? The guy's like brittle boned and whatnot.
Mr. Glass.
Yeah, Mr. Glass, that guy. That's sad to say about Marcelo. I don't think that's exact. Obviously, it's an exaggeration, but Marcelo Meyer, outside of that arm, I would still trust Marcelo Meyer, who's drawn more walks than Marcelo, has had more pop in the bat than Marcelo. And I just don't think that a couple of really bad plays, and let's be honest, the play from left field where it bounced, you know, six times, it feels like, and it wasn't pretty. We all agree. And I think that every team has had an outfielder, maybe it was, you know, a little bit of nerves there too, because he knows the pressure is on for him this year. I don't think that Roman Anthony is going to just forget one, the pressure is there. Because if you had all these superstars around you, no one's really looking at you because you got stars around your entire team in the rotation, in the bullpen, all around you in the infield, the outfield. You don't have that in Boston. You have Garrett Crochet, maybe Sonny Gray in the starting rotation. You got Aroldis Chapman, Garrett Whitlock. That's great. You got 2-2 there. But as far as your infield and outfield is concerned, your best hitter so far is someone that isn't considered your star player, isn't even considered your like top two or three star players. Roman Anthony is, and he's had less than 150 career games in Major League Baseball. He's not played a full season, right? Neither has Marcelo Meyer. And for that reason, I struggle to think or consider that one of them is going to be able to outclass or outshine the other one. You could be right one way or the other. You can,
Charlie, can I ask you a question?
Absolutely, please.
Who was better in the playoffs, Marcelo Meyer or Roman Anthony? Trick question. Roman Anthony did not play in the playoffs.
You're talking about last year?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about right now, though. Because if
I think my point is, and a little bit of pushback is that I get Marcelo Meyer's history has been injured. But Roman Anthony didn't even play a full season last year, and he missed the most crucial part of the season.
Right. That's a fair point. I understand. I'm saying that right now, as far as Clough's concerned, if you had to build your team around one of those two guys, who would you rather build it around?
Neither. But if I had to...
That's tough. That's hard. I would still want to build it around Roman Anthony.
I think it's Roman Anthony. But right now, this moment, I'm not going to lie, I would say Marcelo Marc is the defense. To me,
okay, I understand. He's a prettier defender. There's no question.
Yeah, that's
no question. And he does seem to be at an elevated level of comfort at more than one position, and not having had played that much time, which I think you're absolutely right on. But I think Roman Anthony's arm will get better. I think the nerves will eventually calm back down, and he will show that he is a better outfielder than he's showing. And Roman Anthony wasn't playing left field last year. Roman Anthony was playing right field. So there was also that degree of difficulty and change that you also have to consider. You're playing probably the hardest right field in Major League Baseball and arguably one of the hardest left fields in Major League Baseball. Anybody that argues with that is wrong. Everybody that comes to play at Fenway Park misplays right field regularly. Anyone that comes to play at Fenway Park and is not used to left field misplays it regularly. If you are an excellent left fielder or an excellent right fielder at Fenway Park, like Mookie Betts, who's no longer here, one of the best right fielders I remember in a very, very long time. I felt comfortable with him in right field. I felt comfortable with him in center. I felt comfortable with him in the infield. He was just a naturally gifted defender, arguably one of the best gifted athletes that we have seen in the last 20 years. He can play literally any sport and he would be really, really good. That's Mookie Betts for you. Do I think that Roman Anthony is going to turn to Mookie Betts? I don't know yet. Probably not. But you know what? I think that Roman Anthony does have the capability of kind of getting more power and showing us that he's got more home run pop than Mookie Betts ever, you know, is going to be able to have, especially now. You know, he's on the wrong side of 30. Anything else you guys want to add to that one?
Yeah, and I think Roman, I don't think you can say his fielding, but his glove hasn't really been bad. Like, it's just his arm. Like, he's not out there, like, making, catching errors, making field errors.
He's had moments last year.
He's had some moments, but he's a young player.
Right, right. I mean, but who hasn't as a rookie?
Yeah. I mean, he's not. I'm not going to say he's Willy or Abreu getting gold gloves, but right. I don't think his glove hurts you.
No, I would agree, and I'm picking it. I'm splitting hairs. I'm just saying.
No, I mean,
we all are.
Not even comparable.
It's worth, for sure.
So let's wrap it on that one. Now, this one could be a little touchy. Red Sox trade Jaron Duran in package for a big right-handed bat before the deadline. Bonus points if you can list who you think that could potentially be. But is this totally legit? Or are you calling the cops that the Red Sox will trade Jaron Duran in a package for a big right-handed bat before the deadline?
I think the possibility is totally legit. I mean, it's hard to say that they'll pull the trigger because I don't really have any guy in mind. I don't really know who's, you know, going to be available. But I think that's definitely on the table. I think it's definitely possible. I think a lot of things play into that, but I would say what Chris said on the front, maybe not totally legit, but it's definitely legit. I mean, I wouldn't call the cops on it, that's for sure. Because if it does happen, I wouldn't be, you know, totally surprised. I just don't know who this right-handed bat, you know, we're gonna get. If you give me some names, maybe, but yeah, I mean, could definitely happen.
Chris,
I'm gonna say I wouldn't be shocked if he was traded. I wouldn't expect it to be a big right-handed bat.
Yeah.
To me, like, the fact that Breslow has kind of like sat on his hands with this for two off seasons and then two in the middle of the season trade deadlines, and his value has gone down, and now we're diminishing his value because we're not even starting him every day. Like, he went from a 7-WAR player to a 4-WAR player to now I don't even play every day WAR player. So, like, I wouldn't be shocked if we traded him. I certainly wouldn't expect a big bat unless it's a package that also includes an early Atoli and some other prospects to really like raise the ceiling of the trade package. But so I guess I'm for a big right-handed bat calling the cops, but as far as trading him before the deadline in a trade, totally legit, because I mean, it kind of seems like it's foregone conclusion at this point.
Yeah.
I'm calling the cops on this one. I don't think there's a path in which the Red Sox trade. I mean, here's the thing, because numbers don't lie. People do, right? Last 2 years, Jaron Duran has been a pretty solid player. Like, a couple years ago, obviously served a one game, suspension for inappropriate language towards somebody in the stands, which, you know, however you feel about that it was not the appropriate response. I understand that he was jarring and probably was annoying Jaron, and Jaron has admitted that he didn't mean to say that, and it was an unfortunate moment, and I'm still a Jaron supporter, and I will stand behind him. 2024, he played 160 out of 162 games. 21 homers, 75 RBIs, hit .285, stole 34 bases. The following year, 157 out of 162 possible games, 16 homers, 84 RBIs, 5 less homers, 9 more ribbies, stole 10 less bases, ended up hitting .256. The numbers kind of came down a little bit more. We have played 12 games so far. He has already missed 3 of them. So you go from having missed 2 games all of 2 years ago, 5 games all of last year, and you haven't played in 3 games so far in the first 12. You are significantly damaging this man's value by only having him be a DH and having him only available to play in 75% of the games. That's assuming he's played every single game as a starter, right? That's 9 games played. For someone that's not looking, it could be maybe 7 games played and 2 games coming in to be a defensive replacement. But you look at the numbers and 33 at-bats, you're not doing that in 7 games, right? He's had 6 hits. He's hitting .182. The numbers have slowly come down over the last 3 years. The on base is down. The slugging is down. The OPS is down. His WAR is 0.1. The last 2 years, he had 8.7 and 4.6. At this rate, he won't even hit 4. It's not going to happen if you're a DH. You don't have the ability of accruing WAR as fast if you're the designator, unless you're Shohei Ohtani and you're like the greatest hitter of all time. There is zero chance that another team is going to take a chance on someone who is a DH with possibly a shaky glove, depending on how you look at it. But all in all, every team's got a player like that. Yeah, he's got probably better speed than the players that you have. And maybe Jaron Duran is a better role player and he might be a better person in the clubhouse. But what's the message that you're sending to other teams if you're not even playing him? And you're not saying that it's for detrimental conduct to the team. So he's not saying anything wrong. He's not doing anything wrong. He's just not playing. So it doesn't matter how you look at it and how you splice it. Jaron Duran's value isn't increasing exponentially game after game. It doesn't work that way if you don't play. This isn't a player that hasn't had the clock start on him. His clock has already started. So that argument is moot. If you're going to try to say, oh yeah, we're going to try and overload to get a power right-handed bat. Well, if you didn't do it over the offseason and you had months to do it, what makes anybody think you're going to all of a sudden do it now when we're 4 games under .500? We haven't won the division. Some have maybe thought that we've lost it because 2 of the hottest teams in baseball just coincidentally happen to be in our division. I just don't see it happening. You didn't make the trade for months. All of a sudden now we're going to expect that he's not going to be here anymore. I just don't buy it. Anything else you guys want to add to that one?
Nope. No.
No. All right. Cora is fired before the end of June. Are you totally buying this? Is this legit or are you calling the cops on this one, Dougie?
I'm calling the cops on this one. I just don't see it happening. Even if we're bad, like it's hard for me to believe that will happen. I think for that to happen, it's going to need to be like epically collapse, epic bad, like people revolting, talks in the locker room. I don't think just a bad record is going to get him fired. So I'm calling the cops on this one.
Chris?
before June or before end of June, I would call the cops. As far as by season's end, I do think he will get fired. And depending on when that is, if it's before the deadline, then that could also help the case of trading Jaren Duran, because if he gets fired, maybe Brezzo's not too far behind, depending on how bad this gets. And you could see someone else trying to at least sell off any assets. And there might be teams at that point that see some sort of value in Jaren Duran. And it also wouldn't shock me. I mean, it's not like the Sox are known for trading guys when their value's at their highest. So I understand everything you said, Charlie, and I would agree with you logically. You don't trade Jaren Duran, but the Red Sox aren't logic. So for that reason, I wouldn't
call. Don't we know it, Chris? Don't we know it? My goodness. So this is interesting. This is kind of like a two-parter, right? Core is fired before the end of June. I believe this is totally legit. If nobody gets injured, right? You don't lose Garrett Crochet. You don't lose Trevor Story again for another freak injury or accident. Roman Anthony completely falls apart, gets sent down to AAA. Willie Abreu continues to hit and he doesn't completely fall off the planet. If none of that happens, right? None of those guys get injured. They don't fall off. And the team continues to lose. I do think the Red Sox are going to have to do something. And I think Cora is gone. And I think not too long after that, Breslow is going to be gone. And it'll probably be Jason Varitek or someone. And I hate the thought of it. Jason Varitek being the interim manager for the remainder of the season before somebody else steps up, because I do not want, I've said it before, I do not want Jason Varitek and manager for the Boston Red Sox in the same sentence. If you, and I've said this multiple times, if you become the manager of a Major League Baseball team, 99% of the time, you do not get to pick when your last day is. You are told when your last day is, and it's usually an unceremonious exit, and it's not fun. I just don't want to see that for Jason Varitek. So for Alex Cora, they definitely love him because, Dougie, I believe you mentioned this. You literally put him on the bench for an entire year and then you brought him back after a one-year suspension, right? So you do like him. But here's the thing. You can still like the manager, believe he could be the right guy, but if still everything possible is going wrong, I understand. Alex Cora isn't the person who's making all the deals and signing all the players and making all the trades, but he is responsible for making your lineup. And not having Jaren Duran in your lineup does not make your team a better situation. Having him on the bench makes it worse. Having certain players batting 6th, 7th, and 8th makes your team worse. Some teams have their best hitter, a 50 home run guy, batting first in your lineup. Willie Abreu bats in the bottom third. Like, that's what it feels like. I feel like I'm going to see his name batting 7th or 8th because it's just not making any sense. Why he's well, it just makes sense. To whom, Alex, to whom? It doesn't make sense. And Chris, to your point, common sense isn't common, and the Red Sox are playing without logic. So it's been pretty, pretty brutal as of late. But I think that this, in theory, I think this is totally legit if the Red Sox go on another losing skid. I mean, we're 3-3 over our last six, but before that, it was pretty ugly. We lost 5 in a row. We were 2-8 at one point. We're the worst team in baseball, 30 out of 30. The next worst team had 3 wins, so we're 1 win behind the next worst team, and we've won 2 in a row. So that's great. You're 2-8 in the first 10, 2-0 in the last 2. That still doesn't tell me that the Red Sox are going to turn it around. Yeah, they might win a couple, but I still think there's a really good chance, because if you look at that schedule all the way to May 17th, go ahead and take a look at it, there are no fun series there. There is no team there that says, oh man, we face the Red Sox. No, it's going to be a great, we're probably taking 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4 against Boston. If we split, damn, we just got unlucky, but I don't think we're going to lose a series against Boston. They're just not there, unless Crochet pitches. So Crochet is responsible for 2 of your wins. Sonny Gray responsible for 2 of your wins. Your other starters have not gotten any W's. That's really bad. You need to have 3 out of 5 in order to win. Why? Well, if you win 2 out of 5, you have a variance of -1. So it's math, really. If you have a variance of 3 or a variance of +1, you're not regressing, you're progressing. So that's why you need a third starter. So it's great that you have a 1 and possibly a number 2 like we talked about earlier. But right now, as it currently stands, it's just not, it doesn't meet the eye test. So the Red Sox need to make some changes. And unfortunately, it could mean the manager. I got one more for you guys. And this one is something that I talked about rather recently with a couple of folks, and I want to put it out there. So do you think this is totally legit, or are you going to call the cops? Do you think that James Tibbs III, the player that we acquired in the Devers trade and then traded away to the Los Angeles Dodgers because it wasn't working out for 2 months of Dustin May, do you think that trade in the next 5 years is going to go down as a maybe top five worst trade that the Boston Red Sox have ever made? Is that totally legit? Are you calling the cops? Knowing full well, we have no idea what his upside is. But I will preface that by saying this is a guy that in 11 games has 7 home runs, 13 RBIs, hitting .413, has an OPS of almost 1,500, and a slugging of 1,000. Dougie.
Yeah, I mean, it's a crazy start for the season for him, but I'm calling the cops on this just because, I mean, we have a history of horrible trades, for one. And for two, you know, I'll let this kid do it a little bit longer, you know, hit big league pitching for a little bit longer before I give him that claim. But, I mean, I like the last one, I guess it's on the table because his whole career is in front of him, so anything's possible. But if you ask me right now, I'd say I'm calling the cops on that because there's still a lot of trades ahead of him that I would put. And, I mean, it's bad. It's really bad because Dustin May horrible. But there's some worse trades that, you know, in the long run have proven to be worse. And he could get there. You know, Tibbs could get there. But as of now, I'm calling the cops.
Chris,
you said top five worst trade in how long? Is that like, are we talking about like historically or in the last decade?
It's definitely not. It definitely wouldn't be top five historically.
Yeah, no.
It definitely right. wouldn't be a top five. I'd say, let's say the last 25 years.
I mean, it has the potential, to Doug's point. I think that the tough part is, I mean, nothing's going to be worse than Mookie Betts. I hope nothing is going to be worse than Mookie Betts. I'll just say that. I hope. But I mean, we've had some really bad trades recently with the Brewers with pitchers. I think the difference is when it's pitchers, they only have an impact one every 5 days. You know, an everyday player makes it a little bit, you know, less digestible when they turn out to be good. I got to be honest, like, I don't think I'm calling the cops just because it's the Boston Red Sox. This is what we do. We make dumb trades. And I was on record in the war room. When we got rid of Devers, I think I was the most probably open to it initially when it happened. And the thing that excited me was Tibbs. I mean, I was like, I really want to see what this kid could potentially be. Not even thinking he would turn into a great player, but, you know, there had to be some sort of upside. Certainly wasn't Jordan Hicks wasn't doing it for me. And we traded the other assets, so it doesn't even matter with Kyle Harrison. I mean, right now, Tibbs looks like he could be like the next Roman Anthony as far as status in the next 2-3 years if he keeps it up at AAA. And, you know, he elevated himself kind of out of nowhere very quickly, like Roman Anthony. And all he has to do is come to the big leagues and be able to throw from the outfield and I have it, you know, bounce 8 times to the plate, and he's better than Roman Anthony. So I'm not necessarily calling the cops. Wouldn't say it's totally legit, but I say it could be pretty legit.
So I'm going to say this. As far as Jordan Hicks is concerned, Jordan Hicks has an ERA of about 8. He's got 4 strikeouts. He's walked 7, so double that almost, right? I'm not really that concerned. In spring training this year, Tibbs hit 4 home runs, had 11 RBIs, and hit like 3-something, 310, 315, something like that. So there was that. That hurt, right? I think this is totally legit because, I mean, in the last couple of years, we've made boneheaded decisions for pitching and hitting. And then for the pieces that we've acquired in those trades, we then dispatched them for nothing, for short-term rentals, because we just didn't know what we had, right? I think the Chris Sale one is probably the worst one for me outside of the Mookie Betts one. And Mookie Betts didn't want to be here, so we took whatever offer we could get because it was get what you could get or take nothing. And we ended up taking Alex Verdugo, which seemed to kind of work out. He was a decent piece, but obviously we got shafted on that deal. Pennies to the dollar, no question, right? Chris Sale, I'm never going to forgive that one. I think the Chris Sale trade for the Boston Red Sox is what ultimately... this is ultimately going to be the reason why the Boston Red Sox will be a subpar franchise because of that move. You gave away a player that in the very year he ended up blowing it like up completely and got the Triple Crown and Cy Young for a player that you didn't even start and a player that didn't even make an impact on your team. And then you dispatched him anyways. And you paid another team $60 million to get him off your books. You paid him $16 million to play for another team. For all the reasons that the Boston Red Sox have made boneheaded decisions, I bet you James Tibbs becomes, and this is possibly, you know, being disrespectful to Peter Armstrong, but wouldn't it be friggin' awesome if he became like a Peter Armstrong 2.0 and ended up being like a 30-30 guy, someone hits over 300, 30 home runs, 30 doubles, possibly 30 stolen bases in the future? I mean, I think that'd be insane. I think it's totally legit because the Boston Red Sox do not understand talent because they're not assessing it correctly. And it's going to continue just hamstringing us. We're going to continue making dumb decisions, and we're a bottom team, bottom 10 team. Anything else you guys want to add?
No, it's good.
That is going to do it for the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Again, if you are interested in checking out any fun articles, bastardsofbostonbaseball.com is where you can go. Everyone have a great one. Take care.